Revelation 22. Revelation 22. We're studying the book of Revelation, and we're almost through with the book. Now you can say you read all the way through a book in the Bible. Amen. Some people never have. Some people never read a whole book. Now, of course, if you're not saved, or if you just got saved, that's one thing. But if you've been saved over a year or two, you ought to already read through the whole book. 3 or 4 chapters a day, that's all it takes. And if you're like me, you'll get reading, you'll read more than that. Just get enjoying it. Revelation 22, 1 through 7. Last week we left off there with the new temple and not needing any light there in heaven in the Lamb's Book of Life in verse 27. So let's start with verse 1 now. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. And his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these things are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of this book. Now, a couple of things real quick. I want you to remember now. In the book of Revelation, we've gone through the rapture of the church, and then the Antichrist and the false prophet and the beast, and then those 7 years of tribulation, mostly on Israel, God's people, to try to bring them to him, and he did. And then there at the end of that 7 years of tribulation, we've come back with him riding white horses, and he's ruled and reigned for 1,000 years. And the devil's been chained up and thrown into hell for 1,000 years, for a season. And at the end of that 1,000 years, he's let loose. And then listen, when he's let loose, he tempts man. And he tempts man. Now, we've gone through all of that. We've gone through God having to make a new heaven and new earth. And now we're coming up and we're getting to a glimpse into heaven itself. The Bible calls it the new paradise. And so as we look at it, I just want to take a few minutes on those 7 verses and stop and look at each one. Because if you don't watch out, you'll read through the book of Revelation and you'll get used to not understanding symbolism and all these things, and you'll just get to reading it too fast. You won't look for stuff anymore. So all the way through this book, I've tried to take it verse by verse and make it simple. I've not went into the book of Daniel or Ezekiel or Jeremiah, those things, and very little. And I've not mentioned much of the Old Testament prophecies and all that, which you can, but I've done that before and I got so bogged down. You'll just get bogged down. Now, that's good for personal Bible study, but if you're talking to somebody about the book of Revelation and you start throwing all that stuff in there, they'll get that blank look on their face. They have no clue what you're talking about. So I've tried to keep it simple. I've tried to stay verse by verse and explain each verse without having to refer to those things very much. And I think we've done a pretty good job. I think we've gone through it and we've done a pretty good job. So now we get to heaven, the new paradise. Look at verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Now, the new paradise and its river, the water of life. Now, think about this. It is the purest river in the universe. The purest river that has ever been known. You remember in John chapter 4, the woman at the well, and she went to the well, the Samaritan woman, you know, and Jesus said, give me something to drink. And she said, why are you even talking to me? Y'all don't talk to us. You know, you Jews don't talk to us, because we know she was a half-breed. And he said, woman, if you knew who was talking to you, you'd ask me to give you something to drink. And he said, if any man drank the water that I have to give him, he will never thirst again. This is the water he's talking about. This is the water he's talking about. This same water that's flowing from the throne of God itself and the throne of the Lamb are produced by God and the Lamb, and it's the purest place in the universe. Think about it. The throne of God, the throne of the Lamb, the river of the water of life, the purest place in of all of creation that's ever been. It had to be, because there sits God the Father, there sits God the Son, and they're thrice holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. So they're the purest thing in the universe, sitting on the purest place in the universe, producing the purest water that has ever been produced in the universe. Amen. Some of y'all from up in the hills. How many of y'all from up in the hills? There's one. Well, there's usually three or four in here. He's one. We usually got some, we don't call them hillbillies anymore. No, we got a new name. Some of the other hillbillies said it's Appalachian American. Appalachian American. That almost sounds Indian, don't it? And but you know, you can go up in those hills, and I preached up there. And boy, you can be riding up the road sometime, look outside the car, and there comes one out of the side of the mountain over there. Just looks like it's coming straight out of the rock. And you're talking about good water. Now, you just get over and get your handful. It's pure. It's just as pure as you can find on planet Earth. But compared to the purity of what's flowing from the throne of God, that's nasty water. It's contaminated. You know why? Because it's been touched by mankind. It's been contaminated by the sin of this old world. Now, it's good for you to drink. It's good for your body. But it's not as good for your soul, see. Ponce de Leon, that was his name. He was a Spanish explorer. And he'd heard these Indians that they had this fountain down there in Florida. And he came all the way from Spain to find that stinking fountain. And he said it was the fountain of youth. And the story was, if you ever drank from it, you'd never die. And so he came all the way from Spain, and he got over here, and he got amongst those Indians, and some of them led him to that little spring. And I've seen it. It's in St. Augustine, Florida. And the Catholics built a church over it. And they charge you $1 to go in and see it. But I'll guarantee you one thing. If you drink out of it, you will not live forever. Amen. It's probably pretty good water. But if you drink out of it, you will not live. It's not the fountain of youth. You know where Ponce de Leon could have found the fountain of youth? Before he ever left Spain, if he'd have just got him an old Bible and turned to John chapter 4 and read verse 4 and drank of the water that Jesus had to give him, he'd never thirst again and he'd live forever. He'd be alive. Amen. Instead, he died and went to hell. He died and went to hell looking for fame and fortune. But this water flows from the throne of God. And I tried to get a picture of that today. I got to thinking in my mind, you know, and I tried to picture this. But I got to thinking, the water, like up in those hills, it'll come out, it's crystal clear. Y'all ever been up the mountain and saw this? They're just crystal clear. They're cold, though. Man, that stuff's cold. And we used to go tubing and what's the other thing we did? Rafting. I look back on it and I said, we're so stupid. Those hillbillies didn't do that. They looked at us and said, look at those dumb flatlanders getting in that cold water. Their feet will be cold before they get down there. Their bottom will be numb before they get out. And it was. It was awful. It was torture. But it's good water, though. You can drink it. And but listen, I got the picture in this one coming out of the throne of God, and I got to think about those I saw up in the mountains and how beautiful they were, you know. And I got the picture, and I got to thinking, if the street is made out of gold that is so pure, it's crystal clear, what must the water look like? invisible. The water would be so pure, it would be invisible. Amen? Think about it. There's no impurities in it. And people jump right over that, you know, and they try to spiritualize it. And I understand Jesus is the water of life. And I understand it's coming from His throne. But I believe there's a river, there's a literal river in heaven flowing from the throne of God. And I'm going to show it to you right here. Look at verse 2. There in verse 2. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, it wasn't symbolic, there really was a river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of nations. Now, that tells me right there, in verse 2, it's the purest street in the universe. The purest street in the universe. Think about this, y'all. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Now, in this place, there's never been sin. There's never been a thought of sin. There's never been... It has been made crystal clear and pure, and that street is made out of gold. It's so pure that it's like glass. You can see through it. Now, that's the purest street that's ever been in the history of the universe. Think about that. And on each side of it, in that, the street and beside the river, there's the tree of life growing up and down through there. Tree of life. You know what that is? I believe it's the same. Well, it's symbolic of Jesus, yes. But it's growing, and it's fed by those pure water. And it's bearing fruit. And if you eat the fruit, you'll live forever. That same tree was in the garden in the beginning when the earth was pure. When man was pure, before he sinned, there was a pure fruit on a pure tree in a pure garden, and when they listed old devil and they sinned, they ruined every bit of that. But that's in heaven, that same tree, and they're growing up and down that river. And listen, that pure holy water is feeding those pure holy trees, and they're making pure holy fruit. Amen. You ain't got to worry about glucose. You ain't got to worry about glucomote. Whatever all that. You don't have to worry about salt content. Don't have to worry about sugar or trans fat. Or trans fat, that's kind of strange. Maybe we shouldn't use that word. I didn't use that for people. But you ain't got to worry about, I don't even know what all fat, what stuff that they... cholesterol. You don't have to worry about your cholesterol. You drink this, you eat this fruit, you got no problem with that. Amen? Because it's pure. That's why there's no sickness there. Everything's pure and it's holy and it hasn't been tainted by sin. See, sin is what taints us, and sin is what kills us. The wage of sin is death. The soul that sins it shall surely die. And everything that we participate in, and everything that we eat, and everything that we're exposed to in this whole world, every bit of it has been contaminated by sin. So it kills us. It kills us. In Bible college, the director of the college was named, Mr. Bryan's first name? I don't remember. Ralph Perrine. Maybe it was John. I don't remember. They were brothers. Anyway, he was from up north Pennsylvania or somewhere. Wonderful man, intelligent, knew the Bible, graduate of the old Bob Jones. Old Bob Jones, when they were really... yeah. And but he and his wife, they were about that big around. They were skinnier than I was, and that was unbelievable because I looked like a refugee camp prisoner, you know. But they were about that big around. And they were health food nuts. They wouldn't eat anything that wasn't healthy. Nothing. They wouldn't eat sugar. They used honey. They wouldn't drink anything with caffeine in it. They wouldn't drink anything or eat anything with sugar or salt in it. They were health nuts. And poor things, they looked sick, you know. They were just so... So one day I was kind of picking at them. Y'all know me. I don't have much tact. Of course, then I'm 20-something years old, and I look at Mr. Prine, his wife, I said, and she was starting to have some kind of stuff break out on her, you know. I said, look, I can fix that. She said, you can. I said, yeah. All you got to do is go down here at the pizza place and get you a round-the-world pizza, and you eat that round-the-world pizza. It's got everything on it, and it'll give you what you need. You're missing out on something. I eat it. And they just laughed at me. They just laughed at me. But you know what? I don't know how she passed away, but he passed away with leukemia years later. Really. And everything we eat is contaminated. Everything we're exposed to is contaminated. You can't live above it. I don't care how hard you try. You cannot live above it. Now, you ought to try. We try. We try to be healthy, you know. And you think when you're 20 years old, you know, and you're about big around as a toothpick, you think you're healthy. But no, it's just building up. That's all. It'll break out at about 40. Usually right there. Amen. And then right there. And then right there. Look, we are in a contaminated, the whole universe is contaminated. There's been sin in heaven when Satan rebelled. We're condemned. But you know what? In the new paradise, there's no sin. The water is the purest it's ever been. The fruit from the trees that give us life will be the purest that's ever been. And it says those leaves are for the healing of the nations. Now, that doesn't mean, I don't think that means physical healing. I think that means spiritual healing of the nations. This fruit, everybody's going to eat the same thing. Everybody's going to worship the same Savior. Everybody's going to drink the same pure water and eat the same pure fruit. They'll all serve the same God. And the fruit from that tree, those leaves are symbolic of health. A tree without leaves are not healthy. And those leaves are health. And it says the leaves will be for the healing of nations. Now, nations means colors, languages, nationalities. Everybody's going to be equal. Everybody's going to be healed. Amen. And look, the more I thought about that, the more it got all over me. This river flowing, the purest water that's ever been created in the universe, coming from the purest throne, the purest place in the universe, producing the purest fruit that's ever been eaten in the universe. And turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 real quick. I'm running out of time. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I read part of this today at a funeral. And look at verse 42. 1 Corinthians 15. Look at 42. So also is the resurrection of dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There you go. That's the body that we're going to be feeding right there until he gives us a new body. Now, let me tell you something. Heaven is a place where there is no curse. Look at verse 3. Go back to Revelation 22, verse 3. And there shall be no more curse. There shall be no more curse. The curse is removed. You say, preacher, what are you talking about the curse? Romans chapter 5. Most of y'all already know this. Romans chapter 5 is where you'll find the curse that he's talking about. We are all living under a curse. I'm under it. You're under it. Our body's under it. This world's under it. We've been set free spiritually. Our name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but we're still living in a sin-cursed world. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, that's Adam, and death by sin. The wages of sin is death, you know. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. In other words, they might not sin like Adam, but they're still sinners. They're born that way. Who is the figure of him who was to come? But as the offense, so also is the free gift. In other words, you were born a sinner. That wasn't your fault. It was a gift that you got for being born a human being, you know, or a curse. And salvation comes the same way. You don't deserve it, but God will give it to you, but you got to ask for it. And so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead. That's Adam, remember. We're born dying because of Adam. And the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Just like Adam sinned and we were put under that curse, death, hell, and the grave. Jesus came, he died for sin. So now we can get the gift of eternal life, okay? And, now listen, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered. That's the law of Moses. Moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound. In other words, to show us that we're even bigger sinners than that. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, go back to chapter 22. And let's look at verse 3 again. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And hey, listen, in that new paradise, there's not going to be any more curse. The curse is sin. And the curse is the judgment of sin. And that's going to be gone. There'll be no death. There'll be no sickness. There'll be no heartache. There'll be no disappointment. There'll be no despondency. There'll be no depression. All those things that hurt us because of the curse we were under, sin. Since sin is not there, all those things are not there also. And so we are going to be pure spiritually. Pure. No more sin. No more sickness. No more death. Now, and besides that, look at the second part of that verse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in, and his servants shall serve him. We will be so pure that we can finally serve him like we ought to. Right now, I want to. Romans chapter 7, though, I have a problem just like Paul did. Paul said, that which I would do, I do not, but that which I would not, that I do. So I find the law in me that with my mind I serve the law of sin, and with my spirit the law of the flesh, of the spirit, you know. And what he was saying was, oh, wretched man that I am. He struggled every day. I want to do right. The spirit's there telling me, do that, do that, do that. But the old flesh is weak. Spirit's willing, flesh is weak. I want to do what's right. I've got everything in my mind and my heart that my determination, my goal every day is to please God 100%. But at the end of the day, I look back and I think, Lord, I should have done better on that, or I should have done this, shouldn't have done that, or I shouldn't have said this, or I should have said that. And it's no more me but sin that dwelleth in me, he said in Romans chapter 7. So with my mind, I'm serving, but this thing right here needs to get saved. Now, everything in him saved. But I have to crucify him every day because he ain't saved yet. I have to kill him every day. I have to kill Ron Roddy. Every day you're going to have to lay yourself down and say, no, I'm not that. No, that's not me. That's the old me. This is me over here now. I'm going to be in a pure place that I'll never have to worry about doing that again. Amen. I'll get up every morning. Of course, there ain't going to be no night. But every morning, I can serve. It says we'll serve Him every day. What are we going to do in heaven? We just all going to float around in a cloud. No, sir. We're going to serve Him every day, all day long. And look, what's in our heart, we'll be able to finally do it for Him. No curse. Look at verse 4. I got to hurry. Getting so excited, the baby's shouting. And they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. We finally, you know, that song says, oh, I want to see Him. I want to look upon His face. We'll finally get to see Him face to face. Now, Paul says, right now we see Him through a glass darkly. You ever look through old glass, kind of stained, you know, you can't hardly see it, you know, a glass darkly, he's talking about. Their glass wasn't like ours. Ours is pure compared to what they had in Paul's day. You couldn't see clear through a glass then. It was kind of like, my kids still make fun of me for this, y'all laugh. When we lived over here in Rock Hill Homes, the windows were so old, they were loose, you could just grab them and shake the whole window. And in the wintertime, the wind gets blowing, you can see the curtains. Y'all remember that? Cold, man, cold. And we didn't have any insulation in the houses. They didn't make houses start putting in insulation until 1970-something. Those houses were built in 1949, 1950-something. And we're sitting there cold, so I got this idea, and I went and bought me a roll of plastic. And I'd roll that plastic out on those windows, and I'd tack it up there. Every year I'd do that. And the sun would come in somewhat, but you couldn't see out that window. And then I went to work at Piedmont Distribution Center. They had these things they called airbags in the back of those trucks. Y'all truckers know what I'm talking about. They'd stick it between things in the truck, in the trailer, so it wouldn't move around. And when I'd unload them, I'd have to take those airbags out. Well, when I'd take them out, I'd bring them home. That stuff was about 3 mil thick. I mean, you couldn't see light barely good. And I'd cut it and make it fit the windows. And my wife and kids would get mad at me for 2 or 3 years. That stuff was so thick, you couldn't even hardly see the sunlight. But as soon as I'd put it on, I'd have to go in the house and turn the heat down. It'd hold the heat in, amen? But we're going to get to heaven, and it's not going to be like looking through that. We're going to see Him face to face. Clearly, right now I see Him. I picture Him high and lifted up, but I don't see Him clearly like I'm going to see Him. I'm going to be looking at Him just like I'm looking at you. I mean, just eyeball to eyeball. Of course, I'm going to fall down on my face and cry when I do, but I'm going to see Him. Don't you want to see Him? And it then says He'll have His mark in our foreheads. Now, I don't know everything that means, but I'd rather have His mark than the other mark, wouldn't you? Went to the store the other day. I got something, and every now and again I'll pay with cash because I just get tired of that stinking card. And I took that cash and I run it through his machine. I said, "You reckon this will work?" He said, "No, I don't think that's going to work." I said, "Let's try it again." So I tried it. He said, "That ain't going to work." I said, "Here, take it." I said, "I bet you don't get much cash, do you?" He said, "No, hardly any." I said, "It's coming today. There won't be any of that." He said, "Yeah, that's scary, ain't it?" I said, "Yeah, but the good news is I ain't going to be here. I'm going to be gone when that happens, amen? I'm going to be raptured out of this place. But we'll get to heaven, and we'll finally see Him." They used to have mail-order brides. Y'all remember them? Some of y'all probably got one. Mail-order brides. Those cowboys out west, they were real short of women. And you had to be a tough woman to live out there. And even when they first moved up in the hills, the people didn't start moving up into the Blue Ridge Mountains. White people didn't until Andrew Jackson. They moved on over the hills. And that women were hard to find. So they'd go through the mail, and they'd send a letter to somewhere over in Europe, and they'd send them a woman to marry. Now, she might be, you know, 7 foot tall and have one tooth, or she might be 3 foot 2 and have one eyeball. I don't know. But they was happy to get a wife, amen? I can see them standing over at the boat now. My beloved comes, amen. And they'd finally see her, and they'd get all excited. You say, I never would do that. That's what we did by faith with Jesus Christ. We read it in a book. We ordered him spiritually. We said, I'm going to marry him. Amen. I'm going to marry him. And we're finally going to get to see the bridegroom face to face. Amen. Number 5. Verse 5. Look at it. There shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever and ever. Now listen, darkness represents the unknown. You know why you don't like to be out in the dark? Because you don't know what you're going to run into. Amen? Darkness represents sin. Sin is always represented as dark. Darkness represents death. It's death. Because you close your eyes in death. The blacks used to call it the long sleep. That's what they called it. Dark represents sleep. I remember when I was a little boy, I had nightmares a lot, and sometimes I was afraid to go to sleep. I didn't want to go to sleep. And as I got older, of course, since I got saved, I'm not really scared of anything other than the Yankees on I-95. But dark doesn't scare me anymore. Darkness doesn't scare me. Sleep doesn't scare me. I wish I could get more of it. It's everything to do to get to sleep. Amen. Those things don't. They don't scare me anymore. Sin still is dark to me. Death is dark. I've never crossed that death before. So that's a mystery. It's dark to me. I preached that funeral today, and all those people standing, might have been 100, all kinds of people standing out there. I was really shocked. I thought he might have 15 or 20, old Vietnam veteran, you know. And as I began to preach, I could tell a lot of them, they were kind of shocked at what I was saying. I read 1 Corinthians 15, a lot of 1 Corinthians 15. I read the scriptures on dying and death, and I read the scriptures on eternal life and on the resurrection of the dead and the sound and the trumpet. And some of them stood there and looked at me and said, man, I don't understand a word you're talking about. See, they were still in the dark. They were in the dark. But those of us who saved, we stepped over into a little bit of the light of Jesus Christ. See, we see now, we understand what we didn't understand before, but we still don't have the complete revelation. We don't have the complete light that we'll have when we get to heaven. There'll be no misunderstandings. There'll be nothing we don't know. There'll be nothing we haven't figured out. There'll be no unknown. There'll be no death, no sickness, no pain, no sin, no separation. Will be completely in the light of God Himself. He'll be sitting there. There'll be no sun. There'll be no moon. There'll be no stars. There's no Jupiter. There's no Mars. It's just Him and the sun, His Son, and they light up all of heaven. No darkness in His presence. When we get out of His presence, a lot of times I'll go visiting people's houses, and I'll go into some houses, and I feel like I'm stepping into a dark place because it's a house full of sin. And I feel like I'm... Yeah. You ever felt like that? Yes, and sometimes you get around people, you kind of feel like you're among a darkness because of the way these people are. And they're in the dark and they're in sin. And it kind of bothers us, don't it? But thank God we'll get to heaven. There won't be anything like that. It'll be the purest light, just like the purest water and the purest fruit and the purest street and the purest tree. It's going to be the purest light that humans have ever known. I don't like dark places. You ever went to church that was dark? I don't like that. I don't like that. Some of those country churches, why do they do that? They'll put a row of lights across there, and then they'll put a leaf guard up under them, make them shine up. I don't like that. When I was in the pool room, I liked that. I was doing things I ought not done. You know, when you was in the bar, you liked that because men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You wanted, but the church, I wanted to be bright. When we first moved in here, those chandeliers wasn't there. I think my wife bought them in a secondhand store or something. When we first moved in here, they had a ceiling hanging down. You can just about tell where it was, where they ruined the trim around those windows. Those Mexican folks had a ceiling hanging way down there with those lights stuck up in the ceiling. It was just all kind of pieces and stuff they had gathered together. And one day I got back there and I popped one of those panels out and I looked up there and I saw all of this and I saw what was up there and I saw those lights. All they had was those old, you know, I don't know, fluorescent light. And so I started taking stuff down, and then the fellows helped me. They took it down, and I had to repaint all this because they had it yellow and green, you know, like Mexicans will. And so I went to repainting it. And the lights, now that's a real thick glass on those lights. It's so thick you couldn't see through it. And there's you won't believe it. There's a 200 watt bulb in each one of those light fixtures. But without that, it was still dark in here. So we got that, and I got some stick up here because I think if we're gonna worship the Lord and we're gonna love Him, we're gonna be in His presence. It ought to be a bright place, not a dark place. Amen. These new churches paint their walls black. Black! I saw one on the internet the other day, and all this up here was black. And it had big old curtains hanging up with a cross back there shining a purple light on it. Dim, you know. And I thought, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds was evil. I wouldn't want black walls in my church. Amen? But that's the way it is. But now when we get to heaven, He ain't going to be like that. It's going to be pure, perfect light. I got to hurry. Verse 6. I said I'd go to 7. He said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. The Lord God, the holy prophet, sends angels to show unto his servants things which must shortly be done. Now he wrote the book to tell us. That's what he's saying. I wrote this book to tell you. It's important because in just a little while, shortly done, in just a little while, this is going to be done. And we don't think about time like that. We think, you know, he's talking about a million years from now, but a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. And what that means is he has no clock. Man invented clock. There are no days with him. Every day is day, all day. There is no night. There is no hour. There's no minutes. There's no weeks. It's all just eternity with God. And he said, now I wrote this because I want you to know it because it's coming real soon. You say, well, it's been 2,017 years. That's 2 days with him. 2 days ago. Okay? Look at verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. Now, wait a minute, preacher. John wrote this in A.D. 96. That's been a long time ago. Not on the eternity clock. It was just the other day. And he's coming. And when he says quickly, now, we mean in 5 minutes. But 5 minutes to him may be like, who knows? Time means nothing to God. But when he says, I come quickly, he means on the grand scale of mankind, not an individual, but on the grand scale of humankind. From the time it's created to the time it ends, somewhere in there, he's coming back quickly, right there. And what's it going to mean in eternity if humankind stayed down here 2,045 years? That won't mean nothing. And then last but not least, look at that last part. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Now all believers, I'm talking about real believers, all believers that have received Jesus Christ, their personal Savior, read this book. We don't correct it. We don't criticize it. We don't try to find excuses or loopholes. We read this book. And he said, blessed is everybody that reads that book. Now, he's not just talking about the book of Revelation. That's the completion of the book. He's talking about the whole book. Now, you may not be the best Christian in church, but you can get a blessing just by reading your Bible every day. You may not can preach a sermon, but you can get blessed just by reading the book. You might never have your name written on a plaque somewhere in a church building somewhere on the end of a pew. I hate that, don't you, when you go into church and they got people's names everywhere, you know, here and here and here and here. And then, of course, their family thinks they own that pew, you know. And no, we ain't having that. Your name may never be on the end of a pew, but your name's written down in glory. And you read that book, you'll get a blessing. You say, preacher, I can't understand it. Read it anyway. He didn't say, blessed is the one that understands it. He said, blessed is the one that reads it. You say, I read and I can't keep those commandments. I can't do what it tells me to do. He didn't say, blessed is the one that keeps those commandments and knows what he says. He said, blessed is the one that reads the book, because if you keep reading it, eventually you'll catch on. Amen? Now next week we're going to finish up. Let's stand, Father.